Sight. Welcome to the Philosophy of Fighting Podcast with your hosts, Arturo and Anoop.
All right, this is our 94th episode, and I think earlier today you told me something happened. You want to get into this?
Yeah, I think it was just kind of funny, right? So it has to do with like a fight I almost got into yesterday. And so it was my niece's 21st birthday, and I have a big family of cousins, right? And we all used to go out and party, and she is the old, like, she was the firstborn of one of my cousins, right? So she was like the first of us to have a kid. And so it's kind of special. Like, she was 21. It feels like, oh, wow, now we're really old. Like, cause this was like my first, like, kind of like niece, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but it was 21. So me and Rena and Amanda, like my sister, we were like, oh, we got to get her drunk. And her mom was like, oh yeah, it's her 21st. And she was going to come out too. So we kind of all got together. And yeah, it was like 8-9 of us. And it felt like the past, like, because the goal was to get just kind of really drunk and have fun, like a 21-year-old, you know. It wasn't like, oh, we're going to have a classy night out, like 39-year-olds. Like, let's relive it a little bit. We're all getting old. Let's have a good time. And it reminded me of that story. Remember, were you at Vic, our friend Victor's 21st birthday?
Oh, yeah.
Tried to drink. And he drank 21 shots, and they literally wouldn't let him on the Staten Island Ferry, and he had to go to the hospital. I'm laughing now, but it was like
he's made more than one hospital visit, too. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah.
Exactly. So, whatever. We have a great time at one place, then we have another great time at another place, and it was fun because there was nobody on the dance floor at the second place, but then we all started dancing, and then it became packed. The DJ sucked, but I felt like we made a good party, and yeah, we're just dancing and vibing. And I leave. I also felt old because I was like, holy fuck, I'm old. Even though I feel like I look like I'm 26, I was like, everybody looks like they're 19.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, 12. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what. So whatever, me and Amanda go to get the car, and then we come back, right? Because we didn't want them to walk in the cold in the city. And then I come back, I see my niece just puking like in the trash can. And I was like, my first instinct was to laugh hysterically. I was like, great. I was like, this is so good. I didn't want her to get that drunk, and we didn't drink that much, but I was like, this is funny. It's like a rite of passage. You know, you got to go through the pain or whatever. So we get her in the car and the door is open and we're on like the side of the street, you know, and she's just puking. I hope she doesn't listen to this or whatever, but it's funny. So then I go into this bar that's right in front to get some napkins, right? And the guy kind of gives me a nod thing, and I'm thinking, all right, he's not checking my ID. I got checked once, which I thought was cool, but then he didn't check. And I just go to the bar and I grab like a bunch of napkins. And then he looks at me and stops me and he goes, what are you doing with these napkins? And I was like, my niece is puking. I just needed some napkins. And I had like 40 napkins or 50 napkins, and he like separates it and he gives me like 8. And I'm like, why do you care right now about napkins? And then so, I don't know, like, I guess maybe it's young Anoop, asshole Anoop, or the same Anoop, you know? And I've just always had the same energy. And I was like, this is making you feel good right now? Like, you know what I mean? I was like, is this like seriously your job? Are you like the napkin inspector? And he's like, oh, this is like your niece's fault. He said something like, I don't give a fuck if she's puking. I was like, dude. You work in a bar. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to deal with things. Like, have some fucking class. And then he goes, fuck you. And I go, fuck you. Right? And then I leave. I go right in front. I give my niece the napkins. And then I was like, I obviously need more. It wasn't enough. Right? Like, to help clean her up.
So
while I'm going to another bar, I decide, like Matt Damon, I knock on the window so he gets my attention. Like, I get that bouncer's attention. And I give him the finger. And I go, yo, just a reminder, fuck you. And then so I was like, you're an asshole. And then he was like, we're talking through the window. And then I start walking to the bar next door. And then I see he's walking out of the bar. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, all right, like, whatever. I was like, but first I still went to the other bar to get the napkins, right? I still have the duty. So, but then I come back out of the bar and I see him outside on the street. And it's funny, my first reaction was like, Chael Sonnen, I can't let you get close. So he's like, yeah, fuck you. And I go, fuck you. And then I walk past him. I was like, I got to give these napkins to my niece, right? And he's like, you're an asshole. I go, you're like, whatever. I was like, you're just pissed off that I'm not intimidated by you. That's exactly what I said. I was like, go fuck yourself. And then I give her the napkins and he's talking. And I was like, yo, keep talking. And then Amanda's there, like yelling, being like, stop fighting with this guy. And I was like, I would fight you right now if my girlfriend wasn't here. And then she goes, I'm not your girlfriend because she's my fiance. And then I start laughing because I'm like, this is hilarious. I can't wait to really tell the story. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and then I kind of went near him, but not so close where I wanted to fight because I didn't want to fight. But mm-hmm. I also wanted him to know, I think he's a bitch, you know, and that, like, I don't know, I'll verbally win this. Mm-hmm. And he also wasn't big. So when I say bouncer, I don't know, I think he was like 6 foot, like 190. I don't know your size. Okay. Right? Like, mm-hmm. And I didn't think he knew how to fight. Like he, mm-hmm. I don't know. He's like a black dude with like gold teeth. Like I felt like he was like somebody that was like a promoter or worker. Like he was the bouncer that doesn't fuck people up. And I think he was just pissed that maybe he's not that bouncer, you know? And in my head, I'm like, you're just mad that I don't care. And then, I don't know, I started reflecting on, like, first of all, this is funny because this reminds me of being 21, right? Yeah. And so, like, my niece is puking. I'm starting fights, like, right in my
Yeah.
But I also noticed, like, some other changes. Like, yo, my heartbeat wasn't beating the way it used to when I was younger. Because when I was younger, I would say that shit, but I was, like, wired. And this, I was like, there's too many people around. There's no way this guy could hurt me that fast. I'm thinking clearly in the sense of not getting close. Like, you know, like I felt like I'm thinking like intelligently. And I was like, I could take this guy down. Like, I know I felt like unless he's super talented and then, all right, good. I get fucked up. But really, there's so many people. I wouldn't get that fucked up. You know what I mean? Like you hold on, like it would get broken up that fast. Like it was logical, but I don't know. I thought it was funny. I was going to text you last night. Like, yeah, I was going to.
It is funny. So what do other people there think of the situation?
I don't know, because people saw me and they would see me. I was holding her hair laughing, you know? And then I was like, yo, it's her 21st. I was like, it happens, you know? And I was like trying to make a joke out of it. And people were like, yeah, it happened. Like, I think people thought it was funny than me and that guy yelling. I think people just thought like, this is typical drunk New York college bar type vibes. Like it wasn't, I don't think anybody even cared, but I think they were like waiting to see if anything happens. And it was like one of those funny interactions where you give somebody the finger, then they give you the finger and you're doing the same thing. So it's like a meme. It's like hilarious.
Was your niece like aware of the situation or she
wasn't thinking anything. Her mom was there laughing, not laughing. She was nervous. She's like, oh, my husband's going to be upset that I got my dog hammered. And then Amanda's just like, stop fighting. And like worried about her car to make sure nobody pukes in the car. I think it was like hectic. It was like chaotic. But I don't know. There was just like, I just was thinking about it from like a lot of different angles. Like one, why does this always kind of happen to me? Is like one of the things I was thinking, like,
well, you couldn't let it slide.
Am I bringing this on myself? Do people just see me as potentially an easy target? Am I like a little bit like Napoleon where I'm like, I'm not an easy target, so I go back?
No, I mean, it's a fair question. You're at an establishment where everyone's drinking. If you just run out with the whole stack of napkins, someone might be like, oh, hey, what do you need it for?
No, but any bar has 3 or 4 stations. And I took half of the napkins from one station. Like, it's not like they're running out of napkins.
Maybe he just thought you like walked in and weren't there earlier. You know what I mean? Like you just walked in and took something like, oh, bro, or I don't know.
So that could have been it, right? But then he saw it was a stack of napkins and then he took back 70% of the napkins. Like, it was so arbitrary. Like napkins cost nothing. You know what I mean? It's not some environmentalist that's like, you know, be cognizant of the napkins. And I was like, oh, my niece is sick. I need these napkins. I got to clean up a little bit. You know what I mean? That's no excuse. The napkins should have nothing. It was like a power trip.
Yeah, I don't know. So how close would he have gotten before you did something?
Like hit him or something?
Yeah. Like what would you have done? How close?
No, I don't think I would have done anything. I think
even if it was like face to face.
I would have never let him get face to face. That's the one thing
that I'm
learned.
Saying. Like, so at what distance? Kicking distance?
Oh, if he starts to get close.
Distance, elbows distance.
If he starts to get close to me, I do exactly what Chael does. I push him away and I back up and I go, yo, I'm not getting close. And I was like, I'm not going to go to jail over something stupid, okay, but I want you to feel stupid. Like, I want you to know that you're not going to intimidate me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think I was like looking for a fight. And I think in my head, if a fight did happen, I really think the way my mind naturally works, and I don't know if this is healthy or not, is I would have treated it like a sparring session. I don't know. I would have laughed because I would have looked over at like Amanda and I would have looked over at like my cousin and I would have been like, this is just a hilarious situation. I can't lose. Let me pin this guy. Like I would be looking at it as like, this is, I don't want to hurt somebody. I don't even know if I could hurt the person. And I don't know if the person's going to hurt me. Like I just felt like this is hilarious.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a healthy way to look at fights or.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah, because I'm not, this isn't Braveheart. You know what I mean? We're not fighting over honor or like, I was a little bit like pissed that like you're making fun of my cousin for drinking and puking. I was like, you work in an establishment that does that. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Don't be hypocritical and be like, oh my God, this is a classy place. You're fucking unclassy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you kept serving. Yeah.
You serve everybody. You can't be like, oh yeah, we're going to have 200 people come through here. And everyone's gonna be on their best behavior. Like, that's like, so if I know somebody that didn't act their best, and whatever, that happens. And then also if they're young, you like laugh about it. So you should be nurturing more than like, ugh. Like, I don't know. Work in a better place then, bro. Like, you're clearly not that great of a bouncer if you're working at this like regular, you know what I mean?
Corner was this in Manhattan?
Yeah, it was in Manhattan, in the East Village. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So. I don't know. I felt like...
East Village, he had gold teeth?
Yeah, like gold teeth. He's like one of those, like, I don't know what I said to him. But I was like, dude, I was like, you don't scare me. And I was like, you're not going to intimidate me. And I think when I said that, he was like, I'm going to intimidate you. And then I think I just found it funnier when that was happening. And it was also like, I'm not totally paying attention to you because I got to take care of these other people. And I got to talk to these other people. But also, every time I do have a moment, I'm going to curse you out. So I didn't let him just naturally walk back to his bar. Like, I did keep chirping. So, like, I still was like, I'm going to keep. And I was like, that's not healthy. But also.
Yeah, you wanted it to escalate.
I don't know if I really want. I didn't want to have a fist fight with somebody. You know what I mean? Or like
no,
a grappling.
You wanted it to be like, I don't know, humiliation maybe then.
Because I feel like he was trying to humiliate me, maybe. Yeah. You're taking away napkins? Like, grow the fuck up. You know what I mean? I've managed a bar. I've worked in lots of bars. Like, I've worked for alcohol company. You know what I mean? Like, I know how to be in the hospitality game. And I've taken to people. We've had parties, you know? Like, I've taken care of people that couldn't handle themselves at parties. Like, that's like a natural part of life.
That's funny.
And in that moment, I was taking a protectorate type role of my person that was like a little sick. So...
Was there no one else working at that place that was like around that guy?
No. So when he left, also, I was thinking, I was like, don't you have a job to do? Like, you literally left one bar to go to another bar to fight. That also did go through my head, which made me think this guy's stupid. Which also made me then think, yeah, this guy really might want to fight me instead of But that's where I was a little proud of myself, where I was still thinking straight. And really, like, my beat didn't raise my pulse. I was like, yo, this guy really might want to fight me. Okay. And then I just kept doing what I needed to do and still having
that's the best feeling.
I felt like, oh, this is what I want out of training. Like a more level mindset.
You're clear.
Yeah, a little bit more clear. I wasn't that clear. I don't drink that much anymore like the way I used to. And so I was like a little drunk because I was trying to make it a good time. So I wasn't like the clearest, but I definitely was more clear than I would have been fucking 15 years ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how much of it has to do with my size. Is it because I'm not that big, like people want to intimidate me? And is it also because I'm not that big, I want to show people I'm not intimidated? Is it just
The latter, is definitely true.
What's the latter? I fuck up latter form.
That you like you do take it upon yourself to like, oh, when someone's bigger than you, like you have to like, I don't know, you have to like make it known that you can hang or whatever.
Yeah, John Burke even said that, right? I only roll with like the big guys.
You always do that. That's just like part of who you are. Is there a small man complex for people that are smaller? Yeah, I mean, people do talk about that. And yeah, you probably got it.
Yeah, I probably got it. But do you think there's also a small man, the reverse, where they think they could fuck with me because I'm small? And that's what's bringing it out in me?
Right. I think it's more of that, too, because I don't think, like, when people refer to small man complex, they talk about, like, someone small that, like, starts fights to, like, overcompensate. I just feel like you like the test. It's
Yeah,
not
I
like
didn't
you're
start
trying
it.
to, like, yeah.
I would never start it.
Yeah.
There was a kid at like one of the bars that we were at, right? And everybody was dancing, and he was like, he looked like he was 17, and he was like stupid, like kind of grabbing girls, like trying to dance, but also
Yeesh.
like I don't think he was being like pervy, but he was like coming off, and
Okay.
like he did that with like somebody I think part of our group, and I kind of grabbed him. I was like, dude, you could do better. Like I was nice, like I was trying to like guide him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like not like. Like that could have been an easy opportunity to be like, yo, I could fuck you. You know what I mean? I would never
Yeah.
bully or want to fight or like my natural instinct is like, all right, people are a little stupid. Like, let it be. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like a personal affront. But when that guy was like exchanging the napkins and then like, oh, you're cut. Like, you're, I don't give a fuck about your niece or some bullshit. I was like, dude, you're just playing a game with me right now. And then I'll fucking play that game. Like, I wanna, and I don't
Yeah.
know if that's healthy or not. But I want to. Like, I want to play
I
that
just
game.
wouldn't be in those establishments to get in that, but
Dude, I wouldn't either, but it actually was such a great night. Like, I loved, and
yeah,
I kind of love that it happened because I feel
I
like now
get
we have content or whatever. So
it.
I think it was good. I don't go to those types of establishments anymore. I don't feel like I have for like many years. I remember the first time I went to like a dot, like there wasn't a first time, but I was with our friend Kevin and we were at a dollar beer night. And I realized I was like, I don't want to go to dollar beer nights anymore because I don't want to be around these people that need to pay a dollar for a beer, even though I am that person sometimes. I was like,
Yeah.
I will pay $6, $7 for a beer as long as it's less packed. I can get to the bar easier. Like, I need
Yeah.
more people on my level slightly. So that was me becoming elitist. But yeah, I don't know. But this time I was like, I want to go to one of those bars and show, like, have
Fair.
just like an old school type day, you know?
I think, man, I can't imagine being a bouncer and not having some type of training, though.
I know. That's why I wasn't like.
I mean, I'm sure there are, but I can't imagine how that would feel.
Some people are just
Ignorant.
the doorman type, the intimidator type, the promoter type, like they or they're like the manager. I've done bar stuff.
Yeah, or they're just really big.
When I worked at the bar growing up, I didn't have any training. I would just would sometimes like doing the door because it was a good
Yeah.
opportunity to flirt with people and see where they're from when you take out their IDs, you know, like you have a good time. He might have had some training. That would have got fucked up. That would have been embarrassing. But that would have been also a good content story, maybe, you know?
It
I don't know.
came on video.
Dude, yeah, I would have loved one of my like secret fantasies is I get into some type of street fight and then somebody goes, yo, I filmed that. And I'll be like, sick. Post them out. I want that to go viral. Like,
Yeah, that is
that
pretty
is
awesome. I
like,
never actually thought about that, but that is awesome.
dude, that's like my hero story. Or somebody in my class like does like a school shooting type thing and I fuck them up. That's like my ultimate, like, oh my God. I would go on like I would milk that for the rest of my life. I would never do
Yep.
anything else. I'd be like, yeah, I'm that hero teacher.
Yeah, I mean, that's a life achievement. Yeah, that's pretty sick.
Yeah. I don't know. I gotta get a little bit better, but also I'm never in those situations really. I don't know. I think people always want to fuck with me though. I think I talked about it once when the podcast first started, like I was at a golf course for the first time ever, and I hit a ball really far and it almost hit the other group. I didn't even think I could hit it that far. In fact, like Brian, the people we were with were like, oh, just go, you know, like I'm not gonna hit it that far. And then I fucking hit a great shot, and this guy comes and drives up his cart, and it took like him like literally like 3 minutes to get to us, but we knew he was gonna be mad when it came to us. So it was like a slow moving missile. It was just like some old dude, 60s, 70s, and like you could tell he was furious. He's like, how fucking dare you gonna hit my wife? You gonna I was like, dude, I'm sorry, man. I've never played golf. Like, you know, I didn't mean to come. And he's like, I would have fucked you up. And then at that point, I was like, all right, dude, a little like, I don't think you're fucking me up. You're old. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know. If you, part of me was like, why is this guy so, is he just angry at me? Because there's also two, three other people and he's not yelling at them. So I felt like I'm the smaller dude. And so he wants to fight me. And so part of me is like,
Well, you're the one that hit the shot. It makes sense.
Yeah, but whatever. Like, I don't know. Like, just let people go. People care so much about everything. And I know I'm saying that as I just feel like once you care, then I'm going to care. But if you never cared, I would never give a fuck in my life about anything, really.
Would you say it? What if you saw that bouncer enter your gym and he's like, yo, I want to fight you right now until someone quits? Would you?
Fuck yeah. That would be, of course. Okay. I would never, yes, definitely.
What if he was like, he comes to your gym and he's like, yo, I heard what you said. Come outside and fight me. Still, yes.
On the street? No, yeah. I don't want to, like, I hate concrete stuff. If he goes on the grass, I'd be like, yeah, yeah, I'll fight you on the grass. Definitely. If he goes, let's drive to Miller Field and there's like a couple, like, maybe my coach is there, like, reffing, just, like, so one of us doesn't murder each other, like, a knife or something. I would never murder somebody. But, like, yeah, I don't know. I want somebody filming it or something.
All right. All right.
Hell yeah. I don't, like, but if he's, like, raw, like, we got a firework in front, like, honor, shit. I'd be like, shut the fuck up, bro. Like, how lame is your life right now? Like, that this is here, like, you know?
This is not unrelated, but have you been training lately?
Yeah. Yeah. For like 5 weeks, I've only been training one day a week because my back was hurting.
Okay.
But now I feel much better. So I've been doing 2 days a week, and then I'm going to go back to 3 and 4 the way I used to.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, maybe you had some aggression because you haven't been training.
No, I've still been training. I trained that morning.
Okay.
Before I went out. Yeah. So I think the training makes me subconsciously want to test. That's what Amanda said. Amanda's like, you want to grapple with people on the street, like roll around with them. I was like, what is even worse? I gotta see
truly. What do you mean you train? You don't know if it works.
I know, but it's I know, but it's like funny that I wanna still see that it works against someone trained.
Someone new, yeah.
Somebody new.
It, even though it happens over and over again.
There's always like that, what is it, that imposter syndrome?
Yeah.
And I don't wanna say this in a mean way, but sometimes I'll look around at the gym or whatever. And like people will train at other places and I'm like, oh, how'd you do? And they're like, yeah, they're pretty good. Like we're pretty good. Like, I don't know. I guess all gyms are pretty good. Yeah. And then like, sometimes I'm like, yo, do we all secretly suck? Like, you know, like, are we all just like, is he like beating me? Cause I suck and I'm beating him cause he sucks and we all suck and nobody knows.
I mean, there is truth to that too.
What happened?
I mean, there is truth to that. We all suck in some way.
Yeah. In some way. but you're right. Like, you're like, no, we're testing it on each other all the time every week, but then I'm like, sometimes you need that outside blood, you know, to test it on different scenarios.
Open mats.
The other day I was rolling with somebody on the mat and he like got me in like some type of darce or something, but then I used the wall to lift my legs and flip over, you know, and a lot of times I don't use the wall, but then this time I was like, yo, I'm using the wall in real life, right? And so, like, I was fucking around.
I use the wall all the time. I don't care about that. If someone, like, tries to back away from the wall, I'm like, hey, I don't mind the wall if you don't.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, I was kind of thinking about that, too, when he was like, I was like, we do roll in the street. Good. Like, I've been training for the wall stuff, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I get upset. And it reminded me of, like, once when I was younger, like, I almost got into, like, a bar fight with the bouncer at KJ's, which is like right around the block, because I asked for a glass of water at 2 a.m. and it was last call. I was like, can I get a glass of water? They're like, it's last call. I'm like, dude, I've been a bartender, you give water. So he goes, no. And I knew it's some punk kid.
Yeah, Kevin. I thought it was like illegal for them to like not serve you water or something.
This kid just didn't like me. This kid Kevin, he lived in the neighborhood. I remember his name. I can't believe I remember his name. If anybody knows him, tell him I still think he's a bitch, right? For it, whatever. Like, please pass on that message. But I go outside and our friend Dom, I go, yo, Dom, go inside. Do me a favor. Ask for a drink. And then he goes inside. He asks for a drink and he goes, he gave it to me. And I run inside and I go, go fuck yourself. Like, I just yell at him. I go, Kevin, you're a little fucking bitch. Go fuck yourself. And then the bouncer pushes me outside and I grab whatever's in my pocket, which was a lighter. And I fling it at the door and it hits the glass and it explodes. Mm-hmm. And then he comes out and he like pushes me. But then our friend's all broken up. Mm-hmm. But that was like another one of those things. Like, you fucked with me. You could have just gave me a glass of water. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to let it be easy on you after that. Like, I just can't. Like, I would never let you.
It's such a New York thing.
Is it a New York thing yet? Maybe it's a, maybe it's a geography thing.
I think it is.
Yeah, it's a few people. I just feel I can't be wronged. Like if you wronged me, like I feel like I'm gonna not just let you totally get away with it.
I get it. I think you'll find this story a little funny. I trained with a guy. He just started training maybe like, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, but he's really strong. He used to be an offensive lineman for Iowa State and San Diego State.
What?
I think at one point he was like top 10 long snapper or something like that, like a real athlete. And now he's like, you know, he used to weigh over 300 pounds. Now he's like 240 and like shredded. Like this guy's, you know, football strong. You know, he could just like pick up a barbell behind his back. That's 500 pounds, like just crazy strong. So he's getting into jiu-jitsu. And so naturally you're like, he's a problem for anyone his size, yeah, anyone his skill level. I mean, he's annoying to roll with no matter what level you're at, kind of. So I'm rolling with him. He goes back home and he tells his wife, yeah, Arturo just like beat me up for like an hour straight. And she's surprised because she knows me too. And she's like, he really beat you up? Like, yeah, like not even close. And she goes, well, what does he do? Like, how is he beating you? She's like, you want me to show you? And she goes, yeah. So now let's put it like this. When I see a round only has, I don't know, 30 seconds or 20 seconds left, and I know I can't get off the sub, especially with someone like him because he's very strong. So I need something like to surprise him. I'm not going to like rip out a Kimura really quick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in those instances, I'm like, all right, I'm in dominating position. I'm not going to get the tap. I'm just going to make this miserable until the round ends for him. I don't know. I just feel like it's good training for them to do. And like, maybe they react badly to it. And then I get something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
I just feel the pressure of the clock. I'm like, I'm going to be mean. And so what I usually do is I smother people. Like I just put my hand over their mouth. I'll plug their nose. I'll just like, just no air, like make them spaz out. Like they're trying to like breathe, like you're waterboarding them essentially. And so I do this to him. He's got no hands. And this is probably like, I don't know, probably like 3 or 4 rounds I did this to him. And he survives every single one, like 20 to 30 seconds. He's like, I'm just pretending like I'm not in a coffin.
Yeah.
You're underwater or something, like props. But of all the things to do to his wife, he does that. And so I'm like, yo, of all the things, you couldn't show her like an arm bar or a triangle or something like that. You show her the smother stuff. And so he's like, yeah, I did it to her. And then she got mad at me because I did that to her. And then she's like, why do you do this at all? And I found that so funny. I'm like, oh, dude, you know, I can't answer that. I don't know.
Because you have to do it. It's therapy and it's healthy and it's like it teaches you.
Yeah, he's
you.
Like, I appreciate that Arturo does this to me.
Dude, my favorite memes now, I don't know if it's totally related, but like, you know, the one where they show like this hot girl like about to twerk or something, and then all of a sudden like
Khabib,
it just stops. Or yeah, it's Khabib or somebody that goes like, just train, brother. Or like,
yeah,
the guy goes in for a kiss and the girl like leaves and like puts her head away, like, and he doesn't get the kiss, and then it turns into like the somber music and it's a guy like introducing them to the gym, like, you know, like,
yeah,
come, like, this is the weight rack, this is this. And like, why do you do that? Like, I don't know, maybe we got something in us where we're just like,
I just found it so funny. Of all the techniques, like we went over like other techniques and ways I got him and stuff, he does that, like the torture.
But honestly, Arturo, they're all torture. An armbar is torture.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, it
like,
is.
Like,
but
a rear naked, for other people, they're all torture.
But you can do that in a controlled environment and like, you're like, oh, okay, like I get it. Like, that's how we beat you or something like that. But to smother, you're like, it's like, it's a different type of scary.
Sure. I just think they're all.
I get it. You're right.
To us, no, but look, to us, there's levels. But to like a person that looks at that, I think his wife's response is exact. Because if he goes, oh, let me show you this, and he grabs the arm and she feels like it could almost break, she'd be like, why would you do that? Like, I think.
Yeah.
I think there's some people that would get angry at all of them. Like, how could you choke me like that? Or like, there was a post we made about like the basketball court, like an old fight. And it's like a guy like grabs another guy in the heel hook on the basketball court. And he says,
oh, yeah,
something like, yo, you fuck with me, you'll never walk again, you know? And like, or you'll never play basketball again, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like hardcore. Like, that's such a hardcore thing to fucking say over a simple basketball fight, and it's like it could happen though.
Yeah.
Right? All of these things are semi-hardcore. I don't know. There has to be something. But I think a lot of people, and maybe in a higher percentage of men, that like crave some of that like level of competition or fighting. You got to get something out. You can't have a dog sit at home all day. They got to run, you know?
Dude, I don't know anyone that's competitive that doesn't enjoy jiu-jitsu right away.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I have those. Maybe do you think it's because you are a CrossFit person and you have a gym and you have a lot of people that are already athletic? You know what I mean? Fit? Like, I don't know. And I don't know if I have as many friends that are fit people. So I feel like when they try jiu-jitsu sometimes, they're like, ah. Like, I don't know.
To me, they're not competitive.
Okay. I don't know. I can see them being competitive though, like video games or like bowling or something. You know what I mean? Like, I think, but I know what you're saying. I think you need that little bit of baseline, because I think
that's like saying I play solitaire. I'm competitive. Like, I don't know. It's nothing.
Yeah. I agree with you to an extent, but
yeah, like there's no better competition than like one-on-one soul reliance. And it's not a board game.
Yeah. There was a kid that came to our gym for a little bit, and I was like, yo, you're pretty good. Like, and he wasn't that big or anything, like, but he was just like moving well and he responded to everything. I was like, shit. And I was like, you trained before? He's like, no. I was like, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I've played badminton competitively. And I was like, but in my head, I was like, that's better than nothing. You definitely learn.
Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Mental strength and like racquetball, like you're moving quick and fast.
Yeah, side to side. Yeah. Huh?
But I was like, that's definitely it though. Cause you're not just good for no reason. Like, you know, like it must translate that competitiveness and fitness.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I thought that kid was sick. I was like, wow, you never know what could potentially help you.
You don't, man. There are some people that are really good naturally and others that aren't.
There's a kid that's good at our gym too. And I was like, what did you do? And he's like, baseball. And I was like, I think that's it. Like, I think anything that you do though, like where it's like competition, because he's a big guy, so he uses it well. But it's not like there's other big guys that don't know how to use it, you know, that I feel like I could toss. And this guy feels like sometimes like, fucking
Some people could just make connections from one sport into another easy. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's about like how good they are at that one sport. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that too.
It's like they'll just look for like the parallels that they know, like the concepts that they know.
How to be competitive, how to breathe right.
Yeah, because like if you're good in jiu-jitsu, it doesn't mean you're good at baseball. It's not like transitive. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess it's like music, right? When you're kind of good at piano, it's a little bit easier to become good at guitar, no?
Yes.
A little. One-to-one, but...
It's probably like that.
That channel in your brain is open.
A little bit.
Yeah. I don't know. It was fun. It was a fun week. Another thing I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
I don't know. This one's like a little bit of a downer, though, but there was a guy at our gym that died.
Ooh.
Young guy. His name was Sean Tong, and he was in the U.S. military. I think he was in the Army, and he died of stage 4 lung cancer.
Oh, shit. How old was he?
He was young and fit. I don't know, my age. He looked like. And he was at the gym 2 years ago, and we'd roll sometimes. And now I look back, and I'm like, fuck, did I know he had cancer? Because he told, like, the main teachers, but I don't think he told everybody because he didn't want anybody to... Like, go easy on him or treat him differently. But then I was like, fuck, did I know and did I not treat him differently? And is that good or bad? Like, you know, I was like, I should have treated him a little differently, maybe. You know what I mean? And he made his own rash guards called, like, underdog, like, against all odds. Like, you know, the idea, like, hoping, like, some of this and exercise and health would you know, help him in this journey. But then eventually... It took too much out of him where you can't do that in chemo because your body needs to heal. And then if you're using that energy to repeat, like heal your muscles as opposed to, I know. And he's got 2 kids and a wife. And I was like, oh my God. But I was thinking we could try to, because apparently they have a lot of gear still, like maybe like $25,000 worth of gear.
Oh, wow.
And so maybe we could help them sell it. Or like,
yeah, that would be awesome.
Do like a GoFundMe, because I feel like this guy really represents like some of the stuff we talk about with fighting, right? Like, first of all, he was in the military, right?
Yeah.
And so we have that crowd, and that shows, and he served abroad, so it shows he had some discipline and courage, right? Like, he had two kids and a wife, like, he has, like, some, like, respect, good guy, like, fatherly, you know? And then he tried to fight in, like, jiu-jitsu while he was crazy sick. Like, that's fucking ballsy, you know? And he would roll with everybody, and then he was also entrepreneurial, where he figured maybe he would make some money and it could help out with certain things, even if it didn't potentially work out, which also shows he's kind of like a risk taker. So,
dude, if there's gear out, we just have to figure out a way that we would, like, that it would platform to sell it and ship it.
I know. So we got, I got to talk to his wife, but I was going to ask, because John was kindly doing, like, through Venmo, right? Like, if people wanted to give, but then I wasn't sure if the people that listen to us and that follow the page would want to do that.
Yeah, so we're going to need something more secure.
I don't even know if the page would give money. There's, everybody needs help, right? So it's kind of like, I don't
like doing that. You stuff. Do it. You do it.
For this guy, yeah, because I felt like this guy is emblematic of that, you know? And he's got two young kids. And I was like, oh.
Dude, you'd be surprised, man. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like
our gym would have shut down with our last flooding. Except that, like, we had an amazing community just basically help. Like, it was the type of flooding that you're like, all right, maybe this is done.
Yeah.
And then it's like 20 people show up, like, on the hour, every hour for like 3 straight days.
Amazing.
People raised like $20,000. Like, just, it's crazy. You'd be surprised. Yeah. And then, like, and in the grand scheme of things, like, a flood, like, there's like 3 or 4 feet of water compared to, like, someone dying. Like, this is, like, I think you'd be surprised.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully we could help, you know, like, sell the gear and raise some money for them, like, at least pay for the funeral.
Yeah.
And
yeah, talk to his wife. Let's see what we could do.
Yeah, I think that'd be nice. And yeah, I think he really repped it. Plus, it's just like, I think now it's even almost even more poignant what he went with, right? Underdog against all odds, you know? And it reminds me of, I don't know if it totally fits, but like Norm Macdonald, like the comedian, like, he died of cancer, and he would always he never told anybody he had cancer. Really.
I remember
he didn't
that.
He didn't want to be treated different, but he had a good saying where he was like, even before, when he would make this joke, where he would be like, I hate when people say, oh, he lost his battle, where he'd be like, why are you trying to make him like seem like a loser? You know, like, he's like, if anything, he's like, when you die, the cancer also dies. So it's a tie, you know?
Wow, I never heard him say that. That's great. I've never heard that.
Yeah, it's like a tie, right? So, I don't know. We're an underdog in anything, right? And whatever. So, it's like sometimes you got to try, do something. I don't know. But it, like, awakens something in you. Death. I was on LinkedIn. I'm trying to, like, hustle more for, like, Renta and stuff. So, I'm, like, typing shit on LinkedIn all the time. And there's a TED Talk about giving presentations. I was like, oh, this is something I'm good at. And, like, people are giving tips, like, how to give a presentation. And I was like, honestly, I was like, my tip, it's like, I was like, I don't know if it works for anybody, but I like to remind myself before any presentation, nothing truly matters. We are all on a slow march towards death. Like, everything you do will be forgotten. Go have fun, right? And if you fuck up, other people will fuck up in the meantime in the story, you know? And then I feel like a lot of people liked it. I felt like it was the opposite of a typical LinkedIn message, like, believe in yourself, you know? It was more like, yeah, we're all gonna die.
I think you become invincible when comedians will talk about this, like, you know, when a comedian bombs, when they bomb and they find it funny that they're bombing.
Yeah.
Because then you're invincible. Like, because then you're just like, you're finding the humor in the worst of what you can do. You know what I mean? Like, or if you're on the mat and you're getting subbed like crazy, you're like, yo, I fucking suck. And you're like laughing about it. Like, it is something when you can, we can use humor. It just makes everything seem like not that bad. Like, I don't know if you could find that, you become invincible.
Yeah. And
because then you're not letting it defeat you. You're going to come back. You're going to use it to, like, be better at what you're doing. Like, I don't know. I think that's what it is. If you could find the humor in those moments that, like, you're getting so nervous about it, but even if you are awful at it, it's still kind of funny.
You learn a lesson. Other people will remember it. Other people will joke about it. Like, you know,
yeah, it's a good story. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a good story. It's funny. And, like, in that, there's no, like, real loss. The real loss is you don't do it.
Yeah. And then hopefully, like, I don't know, it motivates us to be better people, right? Yeah. Like, because then you laugh it off and then you're like, all right, I got to get better at that. Like, I got to do that. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Being sad is important, but there's something about that first laugh after you're sad, you know, like death of a father or mother or dog or something, right? And then you're sad. Then somebody says something and either you chuckle or really laugh. And then it's, you feel the healing, you know, at that moment. Mm. And then I think it's like, well, you have to somewhat move on to be able to handle all the things you need to do. And so I can't imagine what Sean's family's going through, but then it's also like, yeah, this balance of you got to move on, right? But let's move on in a way that helps the people as opposed to just, you know, being distraught. I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll do whatever we can.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. So, you know, we're in the midst of 11 straight weeks of UFC.
Really?
11.
Am I becoming a casual because I don't watch like really the fight nights or whatever?
Hey, me too. Last night I was like, nah. And yeah. I love fights. I watch like most fights and anything. And it was on and I was still like, nah.
Yeah.
To me, that's like, that's the mark of like, oh, it's not good. If I'm like,
if you're like that, yeah, because you've been better than everybody else I know when it comes to seeing who the up and comers are and who's growing. And yeah,
there was one fight where I was like, maybe I'll catch the replay. And then I saw like the highlight and I'm like, oh, I'm good.
It's also, I think, because the next last UFC card and the next three UFC cards are all stacked.
Yeah.
So even with the fight nights, there was usually one fight I'd like to see that I would catch later, maybe like the main event or the co-main. Mm-hmm. Where now I feel like the next three, four pay-per-views are so good.
Yeah, they put it all into these. Yep.
Yeah. We got it. We should do a pod before Volk and Topuria.
Yeah, so we had Dolidze versus Imavov last night. Next week is Hermanson versus Pfeiffer, Dan Ige versus Andre Fili. Now, I mean, those are okay fights. But then we got 298 right after that.
Yeah, which 298. Is
Volk Topuria, Whitaker Costa, Neil Ian Gary, Merab versus Cejudo. It's awesome.
Merab versus Cejudo could be a co-main. And that's the 100%. Fourth fight.
100%.
Yeah, I love all the fights that are happening.
Yep.
I think they're going to be sick. Ian Gary, Jeff Neal is a great fight too. Yep. Like that's a fun
and
fight.
Then after 298, there's a fight night with Brandon Moreno, Brandon Royval. That's an awesome fight. Yair versus Brian Ortega. That's an awesome fight. That's a fight night.
I'll watch that fight night.
So that's a great fight night. There's another fight night after that with like nothing on it. And then we got 299, which I think is the best card there is.
Read 299.
Sean O'Malley versus Cheeto.
Great.
Poirier versus St. Denis.
Great.
Kevin Holland versus Michael Venom Page.
Sick. Fun.
Gilbert Burns versus Jack Della Maddalena.
Fun.
Peter Yan versus Song Yadong.
Yeah, these are great. That's a top to bottom.
Dude, even card on the prelims, Matt, listen to this. This is 298 prelims. Pedro Munhoz versus Kyler Phillips. Good match. Mm-hmm. Matheus Gamrot versus Rafael Dos Anjos.
That's a sick fight. That's like a fight night main event.
Dude, the whole card is Caitlin Chugagane versus Macy Barber. Good fight. And then Curtis Blades versus Jailton Almeida. That's a great fight, too.
Yeah, that's a really good fight.
That's crazy because that might be a number one contender match. And that's on a prelims.
I think they're trying to build up O'Malley.
Bro, that card. Oh, my God. Even Michael Pereira is on the early prelims. This is crazy.
Really? Michael Pereira on the early ones?
Yeah, that's 299 is as good as it gets. It's better than anything else. The next fight night after that is all right. Another fight night. Another fight night. They're all like
300.
Yeah, 300's where it gets pretty good. But we still don't have like a main event. They think it's going to be Chandler versus Connor for the 165 belt.
I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah. So there's supposed to be a big announcement that there's going to be they're not going to do the 170 belt anymore. It's going to be 165 and 175. So we finally have like every 10 pounds.
Really?
And for the vacant 165 belt, it'll be Connor versus Chandler. That's the rumor.
And welterweight will just move up to 175?
Yeah.
So Leon Edwards is going to be the 175 pound champion. And now there's going to be a 165 pound.
Correct. Well,
that's smart.
It's not that Leon is the 175 champion. It's just that like Leon will verse whoever the number one contender is, and that'll be for the 175 belt.
No, but they can't take the belt away from Leon.
It's not technically taken. It's just, yeah.
I get it, but he's got to go in as the champ.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess. I mean, he's not losing the belt.
Yeah, so then he'll go in as
I guess.
Because that would look bad.
But yeah, but outside of that, this like I think 299 is way better than 300, unless that fight happens.
Yeah, that would be fun. One, because that would open up so many possibilities for so many fighters and different matches and events. Like I think that, and it should be streamlined. 155, 165, 175, 185. Oh, but then it goes to 205.
So apparently that's the stronger rumor. Like Dana White's going to announce that sooner or later. I think he's just trying to get the fight nailed down for that 165. So if it's not Conor Chandler, then it's, I don't know, someone else.
Oh, Conor would get, if he, then he's the triple champ and then he's never going to shut up ever. He'll never defend that belt.
Dana will love it.
I know Dana would.
I mean, love MMA it. Would love it though.
The sport is funner when he's fighting.
It is. Like, you're going to either love it or hate to love, like love to hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Respect it.
Yep.
But, yeah. We got a good few months ahead.
We do. We do. That's all the way until April.
Yeah. I guess I'm just going to have to start more fights in the street so we have more content in between. No, I don't know. I just think it's so... Yeah, we haven't done the pod in a while.
Yeah.
But I think yeah, it's fun like catching up. Also, I think we should also shout out Darlene, your wonderful wife.
Oh, my wife. Yeah, she donated a kidney to her father, was it almost 2 weeks ago?
And a whole bunch of CrossFit famous people were like shouting her out, right? Like it like spread like for what yeah. she did. It was yeah, so nice to see that.
The two best people in CrossFit history, men and women, Matt Frazier and Tia Claire Toomey. Yeah, they sent her like a video on saying what she did, how awesome it was.
I thought it was awesome. I was like, fuck, I can't believe it. Like, I don't know if I'd give a kidney.
Yeah, so, it is pretty awesome. Yep.
Right? It's like such a kind thing. So yeah, a lot of fight, a lot of fighters in our lives, right? So I feel like that was a little bit of the theme of this episode. Darlene, Sean, obviously myself, maybe the most important out of the a lot of good people in our lives that are doing good things and try to do good things. So let's support them.
Right on. All right, man. As good as always. Thanks for listening.
Cheers, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Philosophy of Fighting podcast. If you have any questions, suggestions, or if you would like to fight us, send us a DM on Instagram @philosophy_fighting.